There's a word for us in the Gospel of Acts, the book of Acts, written by Luke, the book of Acts, chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 25 through 31 today. But for the sake of context, I remind you that Peter and John had healed a man at Gate Beautiful. Instead of the religious leaders being happy about that, they arrested those preachers. When they could not hold them, our pericope starts by saying, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father, David. Here begins the new material. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his who? Anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant, whom you did what? Anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. I need to read that again. They did what your, talking about God, God's power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I want to continue talking about lessons from a ministering church. Lessons from a ministering church. This is part four. I'm preaching with the hope that somebody here is really, really concerned about Southern being a ministering church. Somebody ought to be concerned about our being known for responding to the needs of our members and those in our community. Building on this assumption, on last week we said that we should be mindful of God speaking through his servants. And I told you about general and special revelation and raised the questions. Are you listening to God's word? Are you comparing possible messages to God's word? And most of all, are you obeying God's word? Then we moved on to talk about God's servant and talked about the dual nature of God's servant, that David was king of Israel, but servant of God. And it suggests then that you got to learn how to follow leadership, because God oftentimes uses his faithful servants to be leaders over his other servants. But we're all servants, whether we are reverend servant, trustee servant, deacon servant, singing servant, ushering servant, we all a bunch of servants. And servants do what their master say do. That is, we do what God tells us to do. Servants don't look to other servants for their reward. Some of us could be better at what we do if we were not so addicted to the praise and approval of others. If you are a servant of God, you got to stop looking to other servants for your pat on the back and your affirmation and your support. You got to learn, thirdly, to trust God to take care of his own. And you know you can trust God. I said you can trust God. You can trust him to take care of his own. Now, he may not come when you want him, the way you want him, but if you wait on him, he shows up at the right time with the right stuff. Now, today we move along, verses 25 through 31, and we see that the devil is using religious people to fight against the anointing. And then I noticed that the early church prayed in response to all of this fighting. They prayed, and I was intrigued by what they prayed about. In effect, they was praying, Lord, bless us with an effective ministry. Give us boldness, stretch out your hand, that marvelous, miraculous signs and wonders might happen in this place. And therefore, I want to suggest to us today that we should be mindful of fighting against the anointing and praying for effective ministry. That's what I'm talking about today. Fighting against the anointing and praying for effective ministry. It's embarrassing for us to say, I'm a Baptist, I don't know anything about the anointing. Leave one of those off. Either say you don't know about the anointing, or tell people I'm a Baptist, but don't put both of those together. That's embarrassing to us. I know that anointing is not a very popular Baptist concept, but it's important for you to be more of a Christian than a Baptist. And Christians believe all scripture is given by inspiration of God, not just the scriptures that Baptists love most dearly. If you study the whole Bible, you're going to run into a concept called the anointing. Go get your own concordance and just plug in the word anointing and watch the 30 different occurrences of anointing throughout the Bible. Fascinating study beyond the scope of what I want to talk about. Let me just highlight that sometimes anointing is simply lubricating one's skin. Jerusalem was a dry and is a dry, arid place, and it would not be strange for people to want to anoint their bodies. Just put some lotion on is the only thing we're talking about. That's one type of anointing, ordinary anointing. There's a second type of anointing. This is medical anointing, that if something was wounded, if you had a burn, if something was hurting you, they would put some oil on you. My big mama thought that oil could solve anything. You sprain your ankle and she wanted to put some oil on your head. That didn't make no sense to us. And if it wasn't oil, it was that Vicks mess that she put on your chest and carrying on. It was medicine. But that's neither one of those is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about this spiritual anointing, because that's what's going on in the text. Here's a good way to remember what anointing is about. It was a symbol of being assigned and accompanied by God. Anointing is a symbol of being assigned and accompanied by God. When you get that understanding in your mind, and it makes sense why they anointed the priests. They were saying, this human being has been assigned to the priesthood, and he's being accompanied by the Spirit of God. The reason they anointed the king was because they did not have a dichotomy between the secular and the spiritual. And so they didn't say, well, God sends the priest and prophet, but he doesn't send the king. No, they anointed the king because they thought the whole earth belonged to the Lord. And so even the king has been assigned and accompanied by God. The tabernacle was anointed. The temple was anointed because both structures were assigned and accompanied by God. What a fascinating display of knowledge. Come on up here to the text. Jesus is anointed in the text. What does that mean? It means that Jesus didn't just pop up. He was assigned to be born of the Virgin Mary, and he was accompanied by God the Father. But we should have figured that out. That's why we call him Jesus Christ. And you know Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is a title. It means the anointed one. Y'all knew that wasn't the Lord's last name. I know you knew that. His name is not Jesus Christ like my name is Robert Bayes. You already knew that, all right? Anointed one, but got to get it even closer than that because all of this has been fascinating, but no verbs yet. Listen to 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. Not the Gospel of John, 1 John, back there in the back of the Bible. Chapter 2, verse 20. It says, but you, talking to believers by extension, have an anointing from the Holy Spirit. And all of you know the truth. Verse 27. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as he has taught you, remain in him. I'm trying to get you to see that not only was the priest, prophet, king, tabernacle, temple, Jesus anointed, but you, if you are saved, are anointed. Anybody saved in here? Anybody saved in here? If you are saved, you are anointed. What does that mean? It means you have an assignment. So you're not just running around here trying to figure your life out. You're trying to discover what is God's assignment for your life. And then you are accompanied by God. He didn't send you on the assignment. You running out there carrying off the assignment. And he's sitting back here on the throne chilling. No, he's with us. He has assigned us and he accompanies us on the assignment. Now, thank God, we already have the anointing. And he anoints us, thank God, to be more than just a bunch of preachers. But he may have anointed you to be a great spouse. He may have anointed you to be a school teacher, a police officer, a business owner. We must think of God bigger than just the church building. The whole world belongs to God. So he needs more than a bunch of preachers, deacons, and trustees. We need some saved, anointed people in every area of our life. Yeah. Understand the anointing, the assignment, and accompaniment in your life. I shared with the earlier group today, I've been anointed to pastor this church for this season. Wouldn't have been here if I didn't believe down in my baby toe that I was anointed for this season. Shared earlier, I left a good church, paid for a home, making a positive impact to come here. Why? Because I believe that the anointing is on this season. And you know, it's a strange thing about the anointing. It don't make sense to folk who not anointed. You be trying to explain to folk, well, listen, I know this is what the Lord said, but folk who didn't hear the Lord say it, they really can't get with you. I mean, they sit there, they try to support you, they try to encourage, but they really don't understand because the Lord didn't give them what he gave you. I know what Paul felt like when he was on the road to Damascus and he heard a voice talking to him. Now, everybody heard some noise, but only Paul heard the message. Because the message wasn't to them, the message was to him. But I can tell you this about the anointing. It can give you some peace. and it can give you some joy that folk who don't have it can't understand it. That when you have the anointing, you don't have to be afraid of stormy weather. You can trust the anointing to be a shelter for you in the midst of your storms. But if your life is ruled by looking for fair weather, you just look for fair weather. That's how you decide where you're going, where you're staying. Is the weather fair? I'm here to tell you that not only is it true that after every storm, there's a calm, but it's also true after every calm, there's another storm. No matter how good things are in your life, if you just keep on living, some rough times are coming. And if the way you determine where you are is by trying to gauge the weather, you will always be on a state of movement. But when you are in the anointing, you don't have to check the weather forecast to figure out how we're going to go or how we're going to stay. You just want to make sure I'm in the anointing. Yeah. Now, the anointing has been known to move. Ask Israel, didn't the pillar of cloud move and the pillar of fire move? They wasn't trying to follow the clouds and the rain and the season. They just wanted to stay in the anointing. Somebody ought to help me. Just act like you know what I'm talking about. The anointing can give you peace. It can give you protection. It can give you joy on the journey. I'm glad I'm anointed. Is anybody else glad to be anointed? Don't be so Baptist that you can't understand anointing. Don't be so Baptist that you miss this word for you. Don't be so Baptistic that you miss that God has an assignment and an accompaniment for your life. The anointing. But look what's going on in the text. The devil was using people to fight the anointing. You read it? The whole nation was raging and people were plotting. The kings and the earth were standing and rulers were gathering together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Now, if you were to talk to them, they probably would have told you, we're not fighting any anointed. We're just fighting these people down here. Israel had this problem. Let me tell you this story. It's based on Numbers chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Numbers 14, 1 through 4. Moses had sent some spies out to check out the land. They came back with the report. People were scared. They said, ain't no way in the world we're going to beat those people. We're like grasshoppers. To them, we can't win. Then they said, let's kill, let's stone Moses and Aaron. Choose us a captain. Take us back to Israel. If you would have interviewed the people in Numbers chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, they would have said, we are grumbling only against Moses and Aaron. We're not mumbling against the Lord. We're grumbling against these men. They men just like we are. But in verse 27 of Numbers chapter 14, God get tired of the silliness, breaks into the conversation and says, how long will this evil congregation grumble against me? I can't think of a clearer text that helps you see that when you are fighting against the anointed one, you're fighting against the anointing. David had enough sense to figure this out. You remember that lunatic Saul was chasing David all around the countryside? David could have took Saul out and would nobody have challenged him? They could have called it self-defense. But David said, touch not God's anointed and do my prophet no harm. I want to put it right here in your lap. When you're being passively resistant, when you're not cooperating with who God has anointed to lead you, you're not just being passively aggressive and non-cooperative with the anointed. You are being passively aggressive against the anointing and the anointer. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. I know you want to shout. You haven't shouted in a while. I know you want to shout, but you need to make sure you got something to shout about. I said, when you're fighting against the anointing, you are getting in trouble with the Lord. And that brings me to my third point here. The devil loses this fight. The devil loses this fight. Did you ever think the devil could beat the Lord? Didn't you read the book? Didn't you hear the story?
Yeah.
It's a fixed fight. Devil can't win. Let me tell you why he can't win. Let me tell you why he can't win. Let me tell you why he can't win. I said, let me tell you why he can't win. First of all, he can't do anything that the Lord don't give him permission to do. All of the devil's tricks are in the filter of the sovereign Lord. It's right there in verse 28. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Whatever they did to Jesus, whatever they did against the anointing, God had already saw what they was going to do and said, yes, you can do that, and no, I'm not going to let you do that. He had already, by his power and will, decided what would happen, and then he took what happened and worked it out for his good. Somebody ought to help me here. And I knew y'all would be looking at me like that, so I had to get a picture. Got to get a picture out of the Bible. And so look at this picture. This is Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. You remember Joseph, the dreamer? His brothers threw him in the pit, but the Lord took him from the pit to the palace.
Yeah.
And then in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, near the end of the story, Joseph said, what you meant for evil, the Lord used it for my good. Hey, I'm getting excited already. I'm trying to get you to see that people can be hating on you, and the Lord take their hating on you and work it out for your good. Don't let the devil get you all trapped up in his game. And you ought to pay attention. If the devil can use Judas, a hand-picked apostle of Christ, the treasurer, the bag holder, if the devil can get Judas to sell out our Lord, you ought not think you so holy that he can't do anything with you. And listen what the preacher said. The Lord can take what you mean for evil, work it out for good, and still slap the juice out of you. Yeah. Yeah. He can take what you mean for evil, work it out for good, and still slap the juice out of you. Look. Somebody said, where that's at in the Bible? Matthew chapter 26, verse 24. Matthew 26, 24. Jesus is talking about all of this scheming that Judas is up to. Matthew 26, 24 says, the Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Pastor told you. But thank God, when you are in the anointing, you're on the winning team. Isn't that good news? That no matter what is going on in your life, I hear 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, 1 John 4:4 saying, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. When you are in the anointing, you can go to sleep with the recession revolving all around your head. Your children act like they done lost their mind. All bills are overdue, and you sleep because I am in the anointing. Hey, it's good to know Now, I know why some of y'all sitting there, because y'all have no idea what I'm talking about. Y'all saying, what did the pastor eat today? I mean, this is very strange to you. You just want to hear something else. You can't get with this anointing. You're just too Baptist to hear about this anointing. But those of you who can feel this, isn't it good? Just wink at me. I know you can't get upset with your friend, but just wink at me. Isn't it good to know you are in the anointing? I got to move along. Not only now fighting against the anointing, now I'm talking about praying for effective ministry. The early church, the ministering church, the exemplary church, the church I think we ought to be more like. What did they do when they saw all of this scheming and plotting against the anointing? They prayed. Okay, that's predictable. But what did they pray about? Come closer to the text. Look at what they're praying for. First thing that caught my attention was they asked the Lord to consider the threats of the enemies. They asked God, God, look upon, see, consider the threats of the enemies. They did not live in a state of denial. They did not act like they don't see and they're not aware of the problems around them. But what they did was they said, Lord, we want you to look upon what's going on in our life, because if you see it, we know you're going to do something about it. Somebody ought to help me here. Anybody been walking with God long enough to know that if God sees his child in trouble, the Lord will make a way somehow. Now, he may not always get you out of trouble, but he can keep you even when you're in trouble. He might not keep you out of the lion's den, but he can protect you in the lion's den. He may not keep you out of the fiery furnace, but he can protect you in the fiery furnace. Anywhere in the world, God gonna see you in trouble. Consider you in trouble. Look upon you being in trouble and then just leave you in trouble. When God sees his servant in trouble, you can count on him to take care of his own. They must have known that the Lord would never leave us nor forsake us. First thing they prayed about was, Lord, consider the threats of our enemies. But that's not all. They also prayed for boldness. Did you hear it? They said, Lord, give us boldness. We want to speak your word with boldness. Now, this is strange stuff. I'm not sure that's what we would have been praying about if we were there. We probably would have been praying, Lord, keep Herod from arresting us the way he just got finished arresting Peter and John. We would have been praying, Lord, keep us safe. We don't want anything bad to happen to us. Or Lord, lead us and guide us up out of here to some place that's more receptive to your word. But that's not what they was praying about. They said, Lord, give us boldness. Allow me to call it holy boldness. They said, Lord, we are your servants. You are our master. And we don't want you to start fixing others before you first of all fix us. And the first thing you need to fix on us is our spirit. We want to have a spirit of boldness. Yeah. And what a word for Southern. As we work with trying to develop leaders and teachers in the church, it's not strange to hear people talk about, I'm afraid, I'm scared, I cannot do it. And you know, there's a part of that that's right, and there's a part of that that's wrong. It's right, you can't do it by your own power. Yeah. But the reason I spent so much time on the anointing, I was trying to get you to see you got some help. You're not out here all by yourself. Didn't you hear about anointing? It's not only assignment, it is accompaniment. Yeah. You got some help on your journey. Listen, nobody but the devil wants you to be afraid, wants you to be scared. The word is that, you know, if you don't have the right edumacation, And if you don't work in the right place, if you don't have the right stuff, then you can't make rank around here. Pastor came by to tell you, if you got the anointing will give rank to you in his service. But what good is the anointing if you're too afraid to use the anointing? You got to be able to stand up in the anointing. You got to be a bold soldier in the anointing. God can't use no cowardly soldier. You got the anointing, but you scared. You hiding all up under a bushel. The Lord is trying to make you the light that sit on the hill, and you trying to hide up under the bushel. You got to step up and understand that God did not give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. When you say, I am afraid to do what I know God wants me to do, you are not talking in the anointing. You are talking in fear. And we ought to join in this church where, Lord, give us a bold spirit. Lord, give us a bold spirit. Lord, give us a bold spirit. Not because I'm all of that, but because of your anointing. And then they prayed, Lord, bless the ministry. Oh, I wish I could get a prayer partner to help me lift this part. Lord, bless the ministry. And look at the beautiful word picture they use. They said, stretch out your hand, verse 30. Yeah. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Oh, can't you see all of the ministry opportunity that God has around us? You don't have to go outside to Pookie and them. You can just look around at your neighbor. Everybody that's smiling is not happy. There's a lot of weak and broken families, even in the church. There are children who need mentoring and tutoring, even in the church. There are all kinds of abuse issues that have led to self-esteem issues, that have led to self-control issues, all right here in the church. And somebody ought to be praying, Lord, I just want you to stretch your hand out and do a marvelous work. And then if by chance we ever get everybody inside the house saved, growing in the Lord, then my Lord, where else could you be planted that's better than Avondale if you have a passion for ministry? You can go east, west, north, or south, and at every corner there's an opportunity for ministry. But the question of the text is, are we more concerned with having church than we are with being used by God to do ministry? These people did not pray for an easy path. They were praying, Lord, right here in the midst of persecution, stretch out your hand and do a marvelous work. And you know, I tell you, if all we had going for us was us, we ought to throw in the towel right now. If all we had was our own education, our own experience, our own expertise, then we would find that our arms are too short to box with the troubles of this world. But the reason I labored so with the anointing, because I wanted you to really understand, we're not in this thing by ourselves. If all we had was us, we could not even fix us, let alone others. Ah, but with the anointing, I heard the Bible say that he's able to do abundantly, exceedingly, over and beyond whatsoever we ask and whatsoever we think. I want you to try to get your mind around that. Think about all that you can ask God for. And the Bible says he's able to do more than that. And then think about all that you can imagine. You don't have words for it, but you got it in your mind how you would like to see it done. The Bible says that God is able to do even more than that. Ain't God all right? I close now looking at verse 31. What a beautiful picture. The Bible says that after they prayed, the place where they were meeting, it was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Can I have a few minutes here? First of all, I want to bring your attention to the A portion of the verse. The Bible says, after they prayed. Now, even I got enough sense to know that means they were praying, and at some point they stopped praying. Did you get that? And you know, if you and I are not careful, we'll spend all of our time in prayer meeting and none of our time in responding to the needs of people. If we're not careful, we'll become so heavenly minded in prayer that we're no earthly good in ministry and service. But the early church knew that there was a time for prayer and there was a time for service. And then look one more time at the text. The house was shaken, and the people were filled with the Spirit, but they could not take credit for any of the above. The people did not shake the house. The Lord shook the house. The people did not feel themselves. God filled them. Let's let God do God stuff. Let us focus on our part to play. What is our part to play? The Bible says they spoke the word boldly. That's your action step. That's your verb. That's what you can do. You can tell somebody that for God I live and for God I'll die. You can tell somebody that the wages of sin is still death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What should we tell them? Tell them it is a terrible exchange to gain the whole world and to mess around and lose your soul. It's terrible. It's a bad deal. Get out of that transaction to gain the riches of the world, but to mess around and forfeit your joy of being with Jesus. What shall we boldly sing? We can boldly sing instead of singing, what shall the lonely do at Christmas? We have another song to sing. We can tell them what a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sins and our griefs to bear. I gotta close up, children. We gotta get back here for our anniversary. But I tried to tell you today that if you're saved, you are anointed. You may not have seen lightning playing a tic-tac number game on the bosom of the sky. You may not have heard an audible voice, but if you believe the Bible says that we are anointed. We have assignment and accompaniment on our journey, and I'm glad to be in the anointing. I'm glad, children, the anointing give me peace. The anointing give me purpose. The anointing give me power. The anointing protects me, keeps me safe. Don't fool yourself. Everybody that's smiling in your face, that's not your friend. But the anointing can take people who mean you dirty and turn it into your good. Oh, shucks, it's about to be personal. I said the anointing can take lies that people tell, take knives that they came to stab you in the back with, and make them use that knife to carve the turkey on your table. And God, all right, the Lord can make people who are plotting and scheming to do you bad, you can use them and make them serve you at a table in the very presence of your enemies. And God, all right, stay in the anointing. It's safe in the anointing. Now I know the problem is transparent in the anointing. It's not opaque. It's transparent. You can see trouble all around you, and you're getting afraid of what you can see. But if you come to Bible study, in Bible study, we learn we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith, and so we're not worried about what we see. We just want to stay lined up with what we believe, and we believe that the Lord has brought us way too far just to leave us, just to leave us now. I told you, if you want to be like this church, you gotta learn how to pray. And when we pray, we gotta pray for more than, Lord, give me this, and Lord, give me that. The early church said, now, Lord, we need you to consider the threats of our enemies. Our burdens are too heavy for us to bear. But we want you to just look at all of the trouble that's coming up against the anointing. Can I testify? The Lord can do more with your enemies than you ever can. I dare you to just tell the Lord, Lord, look down here on your child. But that's not all. They said, Lord, please give us boldness, holy boldness for your service. And I'm thankful that the Lord will change you. He can give you boldness. He can give you passion in places that you would have otherwise been apathetic or afraid. The Lord can give you strength to just stand up in the anointing. Lord, have mercy. And I challenge every preacher to make sure you ask the Lord to give you boldness. You can't always preach what people want to hear, but you gotta be bold enough to blow the trumpet whether they want to hear you and whether they don't. And I'm a witness, if you stand up in the anointing, he'll give you what and how to sing. But then finally, I told you to pray for the Lord to stretch out his hand every time you drive into the church. You ought to ask the Lord, Lord, stretch out your hand, fill the seats with your outstretched hand. Help young people with your outstretched hand. Bless the married and bless the single with your outstretched hand. Build a fence all around your people with an outstretched hand. And I'm glad that I can report that he may not come when you want him, but I dare you to wait on him just a little while longer. God will, come on and help me close up now. God will take care of his own. Won't he do it, children? Go on and tell somebody. God will, God will take care of you. Somebody needs this part right here. Go on and grab them by the hand. Tell them, God will, God will take care of you. Won't he do it? Lord, have mercy. Somebody got trouble for double all around their life, and they really need some encouragement. So tell them one more time, God will take care of you. No matter how high your mountain may be, no matter how low your valley may be, no matter how wide your river may be, God specializes in things that seem impossible. He will take care of you, take care of you, take account of you. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Yeah! God will take care of his own. You got reason to be afraid if you're out there by yourself. But if you're in the anointing, greater is he who's in you than he who is in the world. You don't have to fear as those who have no anointing. And with the anointing, your prayer then ought to be, Lord, stretch forth your hand. Do a mighty work. Is that your prayer when you come? Or are you more concerned about what you're wearing than what you're doing? I just want to be a part of the movement. If I don't have to be in charge. I just want to be a part of the team that God is using to stretch out his hand to do a miraculous work. And if you're not careful, you'll be so concerned with having church that you miss this whole point of being the church. You'll come here wanting to have church, looking for your seat, waiting for somebody to sing your song, waiting for Reb to preach the way you like for him to preach. And if you get what you want, then you leave here happy in your car, driving back past 1,001 ministry opportunities. Your prayer ought to be, not Lord, help me feel good, but Lord, help me be what you have anointed me to be. I have an assignment and I have accompaniment, and if God stretch out his hand and I'm bold enough to let him use me in anointed assignment, my God, what we can do on this corner. My God, what we could do in the lives of one another. Do you know that as churchified as we look, there's so much ministry that needs to be done inside. The person sitting next to you, smiling, looking just as blessed as can be, you don't know what kinds of problems your neighbor has in his life or her life. But your prayer ought to be, Lord, use me in your service. Stretch your hand out. Do something with me. Lord, if you just need somebody, just want somebody, here am I. I've been anointed for service. That ought to be your prayer. If Southern is going to be a ministering church, we already a singing church. If we're going to be a ministering church, then you better check the lyrics of your prayer. When was the last time you prayed, Lord, stretch out your hand? When was the last time you told the Lord, Lord, I'm your servant, but give me a bold spirit so I can do the service you've anointed me to do? If you missed the pageant this morning, you missed a treat. But one thing was clear, it has never been a one-man show. It's always been what Southern, the whole church family, was doing. You never get to the point where you say, well, Lord, bless them. Let them go do it. No, it's Lord, bless us. There's a work for us to do right here in Avondale. We're not going anywhere. We've been anointed to serve here. And the question is, will you let God do a marvelous work through your life? Would you stand? The door is open. Invitation is extended. Today's a great day to come. Would you come now? The door is open. My brother, my sister, come on in this house. Don't wait until next time. Come now. Step out in the aisle and come on right now. The door is open. The invitation is extended to you. Come on, get yourself in this ark of safety.
For he promised me.
Before it rains in your life. Trouble is coming in your life.
My battles he would fight.
Trouble is coming in your life. Come on and get hooked up with the Lord. Come on and get your business fixed today.
For he promised me.
You ought to come. Amen. Let the church say amen.